rest of the story. Even before radio held us in its electromagnetic grasp, there was such a thing as a hit song. Early in the century, music publishers employed promoters, song pluggers, they were called. It was their job to reach the sheet music purchasing public by whatever means necessary. For a song to become popular then, a professional singer or instrumentalist had to perform it, so song pluggers often bribed performers to sing or play certain tunes. Song pluggers also hung around vaudeville theaters. They'd listen for the sound of their publisher's material, and then they'd jump up and applaud. And then there was Jacob. Jacob was a song plugger for the Remick Company in New York. He was also 15 years old. Because he was so young, his employer would not permit him to engage in the more intriguing aspects of the business, the bribery, the clackery, and so on. Young Jacob had to stay at Remick's Tin Pan Alley headquarters playing piano in a little cubicle. 8 to 10 hours a day, he performed Remick-published songs for anybody who would wander in off the street with a request. Oh, how well Jacob would forever remember in the years to come the customer who treated him like dirt and the chorus girl who breathed down his neck and the old black gentleman who asked for God send you back to me in 7 different keys. And he remembered somebody else, another young musician named Frederick Austerlitz. Frederick, a native of Omaha, Nebraska, was Jacob's age. As Jacob, Frederick also played the piano, and he sang rather well. The two boys spent many hours discussing music and the stage and the future, and they encouraged each other. Frederick was already working in vaudeville. Jacob found that exciting and inspiring. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Jacob once told Frederick, if I could write a musical show and you could be in it? Well, Frederick agreed it would be wonderful, but Frederick returned to vaudeville and Jacob went back to plugging songs. For the time being, because you see, Jacob one day got up the nerve, and it was not many days later, got up the nerve to approach his employer, the head of Remick's professional department, Jules von Tilzer, with one of Jacob's own songs. He had written a song which he believed worthy of being published by Remick. Nobody remembers the name of that song. What's remembered is that it was rejected. Jacob was informed that Remick had plenty of songwriters under contract. They didn't need any more songwriters. The boy should stick to what he knew how to do, which was song plugging. Well, Jacob listened patiently to von Tilzer's advice, but he did not follow it. He kept writing songs. He kept putting them away for future reference. Songs like Nobody But You, Drifting Along with the Tide, Some Rain Must Fall, Dancing Shoes. And Jacob eventually emerged from the clatter of Tin Pan Alley to realize his own dreams. Even the dream of writing a musical show for his friend Frederick Austerlitz. Frederick Austerlitz, a young man who played piano a little and sang a little and danced a lot. The young hoofer whom you came to know by the name Fred Astaire. And Jacob? Oh, you bet you know him too. The 15-year-old song plugger. But you remember him by the name he preferred, George. Gershwin. And now you know the rest of the story.